for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, July the 2nd, 1986. Fourth of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the teacher of the afternoon.
I don't think I could stand too much of that air on my head till I cool down a little. There's a man I asked to come up and testify. I hope he's here. Because he brought his daughter here a few years ago. And for deliverance. Are you here? Yeah, you're here, aren't you? Is that you? Back there? Where is he? Maybe he'll come out a little later. He's camping. Anyway, he brought his daughter here. She was just a little thing, but she had so much power of the enemy in her that she was throwing us all around. And I mean throwing us all around at a camp meeting. Kicking the preachers and spitting. And he told me that he went to see her the other day in Tulsa. She's attending Billy Joe Daugherty's church. And she's 17 now. And she's praising the Lord, singing in the Spirit. And can you hear me back there? And he said he started to cry. Because he remembered when he brought her up here, she was so demon-possessed. And yet the poor little thing wanted help. These demons that oppress us, the people that are so oppressed, they want help. And we need to cry out for them. I cried out for help for many months. Now, I'm an Assembly of God preacher's daughter. We got saved in 1932. Preachers in those days were filled with the Holy Ghost and fire and began to preach right then. Been 3 or 4 months. And as the years went by, of course, we didn't understand about demons, really. But eventually, I felt that there was something wrong with me. I didn't know what it was. And I'm going to read Revelations 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that's first, and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. So a lot of people tell us all the time, Glenn and Irma, you're working yourself to death. Well, if I can still get up and dance with my grandson at my age, then some of you young ones can surely get up and do something. Don't value your life so much that you're so afraid to do something. Because I tell you, the more you do for the Lord, the more blessed you're going to be. Somebody hasn't been here for 10 years, and they said, you and Glenn look as young as you did 10 years ago. Well, it's not because we have an easy life. It's because of Jesus. The more deliverance we get, the younger we feel. And we carry a heavy workload. We carried a heavy workload in the world. We were used to not pampering our bodies in the world. And Christians shouldn't pamper themselves so much. Those are evil spirits that cause you to think you can't do something. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind the spirit in that child right now, in Jesus' name. We bind that crying spirit, that tantrum spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You be still, demon, in the name of Jesus. We're going to teach first, and then we'll deal with you. Praise the Lord. 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 We're going to deal this afternoon with the occult and with witchcraft. Now, I was upstairs during Brother Golden's meeting praying and pulling my head together because I'm doing a million things here these last few days. Don't try to hold her down, just peace like a river. Let her mother hold her. Peace like a river. Jesus is that peace, isn't he? Jesus is that peace. You may want to bring her around here in the nursery. Maybe she needs a nap too, but she also needs deliverance, I know. the whole family has come for deliverance.
Praise
God. Just let your compassion flow out to her. You know, everybody is not as free as all of us up here in the front. Oh, my land, we didn't dare think about dancing in the early days of Pentecost. That's the one thing we were told, the devil's in the dance hall. Well, this is not the dance hall. We're dancing before the Lord this afternoon because we feel victory and because we are free. When you're free and relaxed, you can dance before the Lord, and it's so... That's the whole cure for overweight, fasting and dancing before the Lord. You don't need a lot of diets. What you need to do is dance before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not up here to defend deliverance because I've been delivered, and you're not going to talk me out of it. But I want to read something in Joel, if I can find it. Second chapter of Joel and the 32nd verse. And it came, and it shall come to pass, that's in the future, when Joel wrote this, that whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, shall call on the name of the Lord,
shall be delivered.
Is that truth?
Amen.
For in Mount Zion, look at that word in, I-N. For in Mount Zion, if you think you're all walking up to Zion or we're all going up to Zion, there's going to be deliverance in Zion, isn't there? I just saw that in yesterday. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, the church, shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and listen to this, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You want to be part of the remnant? Then you better be wanting to be delivered.
Hallelujah.
Because if you're going up to Zion, there's going to be, the sons of God are going to deliver creation, and we better start practicing it right now today on our own selves. Right?
Yeah.
Is that right? I got all these theologians sitting up here, you know, and I'm only a little second generation handmaiden of the Lord. But I know truth, and that's truth because God is speaking that. Some people don't like the Old Testament. But I tell you, there's jewels in there. There's a lot of things in the Old Testament. I know some people can handle Psalms 91, but they can't handle Deuteronomy at all. They don't like the commandments.
Or
the what?
Leviticus.
He helps me. Or Leviticus. Or Genesis. They don't believe that God created the heavens and the earth. But we're believers in here. You know, the last chapter, Mark, what's it say? Believers will cast out demons. How many believers we got here?
Amen.
How many people are casting out demons?
Amen.
Praise God. Look at that, Brother Jack. My, we may be up to Zion sooner than we think.
Yeah.
Praise God. We get everybody in every church believing that they've got power. Why do we have power? Because of Jesus in us, don't we? Because the Holy Ghost and fire. A snake can never stand the fire. Can they? Serpents can't stand fire. The more fire you get inside of you, the more they're going to run. Now, there's more ways to get rid of demons than casting them out. I know that. But it says believers will cast out evil spirits. And some people say, oh, don't say devil. Well, say the bad guy then. Or say the bad attitude then. If you're afraid to say devil or Satan or Lucifer. But I'm telling you, he's at work. This morning when I was up there studying about 11:15, I mean, an army of the aliens came in against. When it hit, my whole body trembled. They're powerful. And they've come in here today to try to destroy your deliverances if they can. But you see, the victory is already won when we danced, when we praised, when we sung. We did everything the Lord said to do. And we need the cloud of glory over this place. I praise God that it's cooler today. I praise God that He gives us power. Say, He gives me power.
He gives me
power. Over all the powers of the enemy.
Over all the powers of the enemy.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. Praise God. You know, I was sitting up there. Secretaries always use dictionaries. And I was thinking, the scripture came to me about if you don't take care of your own household, you're worse than an infidel, you know. You know that scripture. You guys know that scripture. And I thought, what is an infidel, really? And you're going to like this, Brother Harris. It's in an old-fashioned Winston dictionary that's thick and the back's coming off of it, but I like it when you want to come to the old-fashioned words and that you don't want it watered down by these new things. You know what it says? An infidel is one who rejects religious truth or divine revelation. Oh, that's right in Winston's Collegiate Dictionary. Has nothing to do with the Bible, but I think whoever wrote that, because cast out is in there. You know what cast out means? First meaning, to vomit. Yeah, it does. To expel and to give a quick breath and thrust out. Cast out. So believers will cast out. And if you're going to, some of you men don't know what we're talking about, but in the labor room, there's a lot of travail and hard work. And when you get right in the delivery room, there's nothing too pretty in there at all. It's pretty, all kinds of things go on. But that's all right. This is the delivery room this afternoon. This is the labor room this afternoon. We're all travailing, aren't we? For more of the Lord. And the more of this bad guy we get out of us, the more of the Holy Ghost is going to come in. So, all right, that's, now I'm getting to my subject. You know, all people. Tommy Cook is the one that has all the, when he comes in with his Bible and about 14 pieces of notebook paper written in there, you know. And I always know we're going to get something good, and we're going to get it good tonight. I hope they put you on early and let you preach till midnight. He's got so much. He's got two Bibles filled up with sheets of paper. How many want to hear that?
Amen.
I mean, we got to have some deep truths. We've got to have some meat, but we also have to serve milk to the babes. There are babes here. We got to serve something for the adolescents. The children, I tell you, this Dottie and Sister Pope, if they're not doing a good job with those little children, they're marching, they're singing, and you've got to bring them in here so they can sing.
That's right.
We got to hear them, like, tomorrow morning, maybe.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? Well, they might get sleepy by tomorrow night. They're little, but oh, can they sing, and can Dottie and dance before the Lord? See, that's what we need. These young people need some life. If they don't get it in the church, they're going to get it someplace. I'm sorry, Brother Tommy, you missed your son and I dancing together a while ago. But that's all right.
It'll happen again.
Oh, yeah, Randy. I was especially happy to dance with my grandson with the tambourine. Wouldn't that make all you grandmas happy? This is Daniel's birthday. He's 23 years old today. He's over there at Fort Knox guarding the gold. Taking care of all the cryptic stuff, if you, any of you know what that is. But anyway, praise God. Now we're going to go to the occult. If there's anything that I hear more and pray with people more over the telephone, it's a steady stream of calls. Sometimes we can't get anything done for the calls, and Patty and I and Glenn and anybody that's up in the offices praying for people. And most of the time, the Lord will just show me right away a fortune teller or something. I'll say, when did you go to the fortune teller last? Well, I've never been. And then I'll say, well, I see something in the spirit. And it has something to do with the occult. Well, I did go to the fortune teller once. You see, we don't have to dabble much into the nether world to get something on us. Do we? Not very. Satan never plays fair. He can get one little foothold in us. And he usually doesn't act up against you too much until you start moving up towards Zion. And that's when he says, this has got to stop. I'm not going to let them go any further. They're going to be through. I'm going to do something to keep them from moving on up to Zion. Now, I'm for the 30-fold, but I don't want to always be in the 30-fold. I'm for the 60-fold. That means being 60% filled with the Holy Ghost, but that other 40%, that flesh, that's where the evil spirits can attack us. And I always say up till a 60-fold, it's all free. Gifts are free. Salvation's free. The blood of Jesus is free.
The Holy Spirit is free. But from the 60% on, God requires something of you. It's not free anymore, is it?
Hallelujah.
We have to do something. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to give up. You're going to have to turn your way over to God's way. You're going to have to turn your life totally a living sacrifice unto Him. Now, I didn't want to come to Arkansas. Why would I want to come to Arkansas after I lived in Southern California 32 years in a beautiful home and was just trying to retire at 50 when Glenn had that vision? And you see, the Lord, He doesn't make you willing to go, but He doesn't force you to go. He just makes you willing to go. That's an old, old song. Brother Lee's probably heard that. I think it's Hornets, the Hornets song.
He doesn't compel you to go.
No, He doesn't compel you to go. He's an old timer over here, too. But, you know, the last big shaking I had, even after we bought this property, we don't follow dreams and visions all the time. You get yourself into trouble, but we tested that vision of Glenn's for years. We didn't come for 7 years after he had the vision. And the last big shaking I had was the big earthquake in Southern California. And one of them was centered on our street, which was a block and a half long. You think that didn't shake me? Threw us to the ceiling, threw us down, mirrors and glass breaking all over. I was ready to get out. You know, He didn't compel me, but I came, of course, dragging my feet. He knows how to handle every one of you. And the way He handles me, He may not handle you. We were retired. We had sold a big publication and printing business. We had money. We had homes. We worked when we wanted to. Anytime we wanted to work, our fee was $2,000 a week. And we went out as consultants. I wish you could go into the aerospace industry and observe. They wouldn't let you in there because it's usually all very secret. But they used to have, when we had to have a new weapon, or the government, the Pentagon, was going to put out some kind of a new weapon, a new ship, a new airplane, or anything like that, they asked about three companies to propose. The proposals were usually 25,000 pages long. And they would get key people to come in, and they usually lock us up in a great big building. Nobody else could come in to bother. And we'd start in. We usually have about 7 or 8 weeks to put out this proposal. And it was no small job, because I was over the technical typing for the scientists, the physicists, and the engineers. And Glenn was over the artwork, pulling all the books together. We had about 25 volumes in each one of these proposals. And we used to work up on it until they would literally come in, some physicist or somebody would find something, or the accountants, that was wrong in there, and they'd come in for us to type a page at the very last minute when the jet was already fired up out in the parking lot, ready to take it to the Pentagon. It would be due there by, I don't know, midnight or something. Everybody was tuned in to the spirit of the project. You know why? Because it meant big contracts for the company we was doing it for. It could be Lockheed, it could be Douglas, it could be Litton, it could be North American. It could be any of those big companies. And Glenn and I worked for all of them. And I used to tell Brother Shakarian, you know, if you could only see how all those engineers and everybody in there was working together in such unity. If the Church of Jesus Christ would get in that kind of unity, we could bring Jesus back tomorrow. You know that? He can't come back till He gets a church without spot or wrinkle, people.
Right.
And I tell you, the church is in a bad shape. Now, I don't say all of you people are, but we are not all the church. The church is thousands of people that call themselves Christians. And we all need to take out the trash and clean up the debris. And the Lord is going to deliver us. But I'll tell you, one of the worst cases of any spirits that come about, I think, is from the occult. The results of the occult. Now, yesterday, the curse of the bastard, that's 400 years. That is bad. That's terrible. The curse of incest is terrible. And there's so many people abused, children abused, sexually abused. But I tell you, the occult is just as terrible. Sin is bad in any sin is bad. In the kingdom, we're getting rid of all sin. The church says let you sin. The kingdom's not going to put up with Christians sinning. Is that right? No. We got to understand sin. Well, we're through with Joel. Is everybody with me? You're whosoever's. In Zion, there's going to be deliverance, whether we like it or not. That's in the place of praise in the mountain of the Lord. And in Jerusalem, that's the church. There's going to be deliverance because Joel saw it, and we believe Joel, don't we? And in the remnant. Now, some of you may not even want to be in the remnant, but I want to be in the remnant. I want to be in that remnant. And I've been trying for years to learn more about how to let the Lord use me. And I, as I said before, I didn't want to come to Arkansas. I wasn't particularly interested in seeing people throw up demons. Not at all, really. Some of you... Yeah, one boy, I was walking down the aisle praying for him, and I didn't have my roll of paper towels. That's my, you know, tool. And I said, come out of him in the name of Jesus. He gave a great big thing and a big, about this big of slime, and everything came out. It ran through my fingers and ran into my shoe. Well, that's very good for Prissy Irma, but you don't have to do it. Unless you're Prissy and proud. I thought, oh, my land. And then I just, you know, you have to sort of move with the cloud, as he said. Move with the cloud. If that's what the Lord wants, then I'll do it. I've always been in for everything to get something done. I really am. And I always like to get to the bottom of everything because that's the people I worked for. You should have seen when we used to have failures with the missiles. I came into the missile division out of Lockheed Aircraft. There was only 50 of us chosen. And we couldn't say the word missile out loud because it was too secret. That was way back in, the 50s, wasn't it? 53. Too secret to say the word missile. Now it's just common talk, you know. But it wasn't then. And they would always call it the bird. Well, you can talk about the bird and nobody would understand what she was talking about. But whenever there'd be a failure, the engineers blamed the scientists. The scientists and the engineers blamed the typing pool. And so they'd come in and we'd all get a good talking to. They'd say, everything has to be perfect. If you put a hyphen in this equation and it doesn't belong in there, you're going to destruct the missile. So we were all trembling, you know. The church of God should tremble at the word. They should tremble when they're not going up to Zion fast enough. We should start looking into it. And they used to have these troubleshooting charts. You've seen troubleshooting charts. He's an engineer. They make up these great big charts, you know, and they have, where they have, I think I wrote it down here because the Lord gave it to me a while ago, and I thought about how many millions I've typed of these. Symptoms. Probable cause in this column. And remedy. Think about that. If you want to jot that down, if you're keeping notes. Symptoms. We're going to go into symptoms this afternoon. See what our trouble is, why we can't move on in God. Probable cause. This afternoon, it's going to be the occult. Yesterday, it was the curse of the bastard. Tomorrow, I don't know what they're going to talk on. I don't have the strength to get up here every day because I'm in the kitchen helping the girls, making dressing and doing all those, you know, women. I'm a woman. I'm just a normal woman. I like to cook and keep all the food flowing right. And the girls are doing such a beautiful job in the kitchen. They poke me out of there and take my apron off of me and everything. But anyway, now we're going to go into the symptoms. We're going to go into the probable cause. And what's the probable cause this afternoon? Occult. And what's the remedy? Jesus. Deliverance. The precious blood. All those things. Okay. Now let me see. We're going to go to our scriptures. Exodus 34:1. Got to find it here. Exodus 34. Though I'm not going to start. Well, the Lord said to Moses, if you'll look carefully at everything the Lord said to Moses. See, a lot of people say, well, we don't have to pay attention to Moses. Now we're in the New Testament. I would to God we paid more attention to what the Lord said to Moses. The Lord said to Moses, you know, if there's rebellious kids,
You are to take them outside the camp and stone them. How do you like that, young people? You like that? You like to be rebellious? See, that's what God told Moses in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he's a little easier on us because we have the grace and we have the precious blood. They had no way out of their sins except the sacrifices that they made once or twice a year. So in order to get rid of rebellious kids, they took them out and they stoned them. Adulterous woman, they stoned her, didn't they? See, but now we have it easy. But we don't take advantage of the blood of Jesus because he shed it for us. We just pass it on, pass it over. We've heard it. It's so common. Now let's go down. I'm going to read fast the sixth verse of the 34th chapter. I should read the whole thing. And the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God. Everybody should tremble at the word right now. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance in goodness and truth. The Lord is good. He allowed Noah to preach to him 120 years, and they didn't pay attention to Noah. Only Noah and his family were saved. Everybody else perished. Listen to this, young people. Everybody else perished. The Lord keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity. Iniquity is when you know to do something and you don't do it. You do the opposite. That's what iniquity is. It's the abominations, the lawlessness of us. It's those that cry and sigh over the abominations in the church. If you cry and sigh over your grandfather who's dying of cancer, I don't know if that's going to get you sealed in your forehead or not. It's the crying and sighing over the abominations. Look at that closely. The abominations of God hates so many things. That means it makes him sick. He must weep up there for all of our abominations in the church. Now, this is what I want you all to hear. Don't pass any papers. Look at me, all you young people, everybody. And that by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, listen, upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and unto the fourth generation. That is pretty serious. Now, that was the most tremendous, and we've had so many people want to see that in print, that she was reading, and Jean was reading out that old book about what happens, the curse of the bastard, and also incest. Incestuous cases usually bear idiots or deformed people, or all these things. And the poor little children that are born, it's the parents' fault. It's the parents' fault, the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Now, I'm talking from experience this afternoon about deliverance. I told you I've been delivered of a lot of things, and maybe you think I need a lot more, and praise God you pray for me, because I sure want a lot more. Okay, and it's visited down to the third and the fourth generation. So the things that you people have done in your... You fathers, it's going to be visited down upon your children. I get SOS calls, crying, screaming, our kids are on drugs, our kids are getting divorced, oh, pray, pray, pray. And my answer is, who's been to the fortune teller? And you know, almost everybody, oh, I went when I was 17, or oh, I read some horoscopes. Yes, I played with a Ouija board. What's wrong with that? It's only a toy. I tell you, it's all of the devil. You better toss them out of your house, and you better quit buying things like that. You better get that book back there, Turmoil in the Toy Box. I haven't really studied it, but that's all the new occult toys that are coming out. The occult is all over. You can't touch anything hardly in the in the department stores that's not from the occult. Even the clothing that they're manufacturing is usually styled by the homosexuals or the lesbians or some foreign Baal worshiper or Buddha worshiper. But you know, you can complain. You can complain to the clerks. We want American-made clothing, and we don't like that style. Why don't you throw that out and get something we like? You know, fashion is a tremendous, terrible spirit also. Okay, the probable cause is the occult. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 18. There's all kinds of scriptures. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And I was looking
I wasn't looking for a scripture for Regina, but I found one today. It's just the opposite over here, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because you'll all be turning there and get all excited. But I got excited, and I come down and told her, and I think the Lord has already answered our prayers about her son. God will vindicate, and it's very good for her husband. I said, praise God. And her husband said he's praying. Now, we've been to their house. They got a beautiful home, beautiful children. But Papa is not really born again. And the last time we were there was such a crowd, and he came home. He doesn't like to be there when we're there, but he came home late, and Regina was praying for some Catholic lady to get delivered, and they weren't quiet. And he said, what's going on? And he said to me, what's going on? I was trying to, you know, cool it a little. And he said, where'd all these cars come from, and where'd all these people? There must be 400 cars out there. Well, there wasn't, but there was a lot of people. So he just went over to the, you don't care if I tell this, do you? Because he needs prayer. He went over to the someplace and poured out some liquor and made himself a highball or whatever they call it. And I stood and talked to him, you know, like I'm used to things like that. That don't make me any less religious. And I just was talking nice to him, and I said, there's a lot of people here that's needed help, and then we're about ready to close. We have closed, but I didn't say, Regina won't stop. But anyway, Regina said, well, you better pray. He said, I am praying. You know, we all need to get up against the wall and we start praying, don't we? But we can just glide along and have this nice glory hallelujah thing, but something happens, and boy, we all pray. Don't we? In our own families especially. Is that true? Where are you? Amen?
Amen.
We've all got children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I don't have any of them yet. I keep telling the boys, don't bring me any great-grandchildren home here to take care of. I've raised three of my grandchildren. I have six grandsons. And when you get old, you know, you don't really want to have the responsibility of a teenager these days. So anyway, I am glad for Brother Kramer getting born again. Soon! I believe it. He's a wonderful man. He's a very top brass in a big company, in the phone company, I think it is. And he's a lovely man. He's a lovely businessman. But, oh, he don't know about Regina and her friends, all these noisy prayer warriors. But he was very sweet to us, and I said to her yesterday, well, he seemed to like Glenn. We've been there twice. She said he would have let you sleep in the bed here if he didn't like you. You know, people like that, they really like somebody that don't act like a fanatic and don't act like a Christian nut. You know, can't you be just normal yourself? I know how to talk to businessmen or executives. So I'm just believing that. I'm just saying, glory to God, glory to God. Lord, let him see. Let him see the Lord work. Let him see this boy to be vindicated. And I just praise God that the Lord answered, and we got cooler weather today, and tomorrow it's supposed to be even colder. They have to have a blanket. Praise God. All right, we're going to go. We've had enough. 18th chapter, Deuteronomy, and I'm going to start reading 9th verse. When thou art coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We're coming into a new land, aren't we? We're trying to climb up that mountain. Thou shalt not learn to do after those giants, those abominations of those nations. You know, the children of Israel, everybody else but Joshua and Caleb were so afraid of those giants, but they weren't afraid. We should not be afraid of the devil one bit. You know, he smacks us around sometimes. I've got a big scar on my leg where a boy kicked me about 4 or 5 years ago when I was delivering Star Wars. I mean, I got a big knot on my leg. But I'm not afraid of the devil. But I respect him. He's got power. Don't you ever get up in your pulpits and say the devil don't have any power anymore. He does have power. Or why would the world be going like it is? And why would the Christians be acting like they are? Taking a little drink on the side, having a little adultery on the side, a little fornication, a little drugs. If anybody of you get Jamie Buckingham's thing, a preacher, his wife came home the other day, this pastor pastors a church, I think of 6,000 members. He was all wrought up and everything, and he was snorting cocaine in the bathroom. Don't say the enemy doesn't have power. I've lived
50-some years in Pentecost, I've seen him tear up the biggest of preachers and the biggest of churches. I've seen district superintendents run off with a woman. Don't try to tell me the devil doesn't have any power, because I won't believe you. I'll just say, but he does, but I respect him. I don't call him old names, because the Bible says not to do it. Even the angels don't call him bad names. They respect him. I don't think I reverence him. But I mean, I know that he's alive and well, and he's here on planet Earth. I knew that the men would walk on the moon. We worked on that project. I knew they could get up there. I didn't know if they could go through that outer darkness, they called it, the Van Alten Belt. But I knew once if they ever got on the moon, they wouldn't die. Although we had all kinds of needles and stuff to let them die, you know, if they were in trouble. But there's no death. Death is where the enemy is. He's over death. There's no death, only in the air. After the outer darkness, after the Van Alten Belt, you've got space. And that still belongs to the Lord. Believe that? I thought about that. I studied that. I read after those scientists. And they were scared to death when they were coming back through that outer darkness. Remember, they couldn't even communicate with them. It's so black and dark. I'm telling you, that kind of darkness is going to penetrate the whole earth, because the Bible says gross darkness. And we better be looking to Jesus. When you're coming into this land, you're not going to take after any of these abominations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination. Get sick over us when we do that. And because of these abominations, the Bible says, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Now, he's given us Jesus. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us the blood to drive these things out of us. There isn't any reason why we shouldn't seek it. It'll hurt your pride. It will hurt your flesh. But many times people don't even know what's the matter with them. I didn't know what's the matter with me. I knew something was the matter with me. Early Pentecost, they prayed for us and we got healed. We didn't have an aspirin in our house or any other kind of medicine. By the time we got in California from Illinois and was working and had big jobs, aspirin was the call of the day. You know, if I had a headache, I took an aspirin. Too busy to pray. Any trouble coming, I had to call my mother and dad, pay them out on the train to get them out to California to pray for us. There's a lot of Christians don't have them in here today. You know that? They don't really know how to pray. And it really wasn't my fault, but I didn't know what was the matter with me. I try to think. I can excel in the business world. I can go right to the top any place I hired in. And I had a seemingly good head. Maybe you don't think I do now, but I did then. And I knew. Why can't I excel in the spirit? Why? And I didn't know why until a man of God told me what was wrong with me, prayed for me. I started coming out of that awful whatever that was on me. And it was a tremendous feeling when I started coming out of it. I thought, oh, my. One man told me, you've been to a fortune teller. You're under the power of a fortune teller. And I said, well, I don't want to be. You know, a lot of people say, oh, no. That's the brakes, you know. I said, I don't want to be. I want you to pray for me. I've really never been to a fortune teller. I've read horoscopes. Admitted to that. I read the LA Times. Sometimes I'd look at the horoscopes. I didn't believe it, you know, but I still, my eyes went there. My dad says, what made you do that? I said, well, I don't know. I didn't know until people started teaching about this about 20 years ago. And I said, and the man of God, he said, no. Not it. You know, the other day, Brother Lee, he was saying, no, that's not the one. No, there's somebody else in here. He said, no, that's not it. I said, well, I don't know. And he said, well, I'm going to pray for you. But as he prayed for me, this dark tent lifted off of me.
I could see better, think better, hear better, and everything. I thought, my, this is, I did have something on me. What is this? And he kept on praying, and he said, this is coming through your mother's side of the family. He told Glenn the same thing, coming through her, his mother's side of the family. I thought, now, my parents are preachers, my land, my mother, I know she would never go to a fortune teller. But I didn't allow that thought to stay in there that it wasn't true. I said, well, I don't know, but keep on praying, and kept on praying, and more, and I felt more victory and more victory, and I felt these weights lift off of me. Later, you've heard, some of you have heard this, but there's a lot of new people in here who's never heard this. Later, Glenn's mother came over, and I wondered why she wouldn't stay at our house. Her husband, my Glenn's mother and dad, would come and stay all winter in California. They usually stayed with us because we had the biggest house and private bathroom for their bedroom and everything. But when Derek Prince was going to come to visit us for 10 days, they moved out. And we had four or five bedrooms. They didn't have to move out. I thought, I wonder why. And he's the one that prayed for me. And when he did, and when I asked her one day, I said, I couldn't wait. I have to get to the bottom of things and find out what's making this thing work. I said, do you ever go to a fortune teller? Oh, yes, when I was 17 years old, I went to one, but I didn't believe it. I said, do you know that Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn and said he was under the power of that fortune teller? Boy, she hit the ceiling. Now, she is a hallelujah, praise the Lord, front seater. Still is at 85, going strong. She said, now, this was not her talking, but I got my first experience of really hearing a demon talk. It wasn't her voice. Says, you tell that old Derek Prince, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. And when she said that, the tent came over me again. Glenn came home that night. I got him back in the master bedroom, and I said, your mother's been to a fortune teller. And that's what Brother Prince was picking up. See, Prince had already left. Then you're on your own. I said, it's on me. He said, well, don't let her take you over like that again. He prayed, and it lifted off again. Praise God, my husband's praying for me. And about 6 months later, from February to about August, we went to visit my parents in the Middle West, around Quincy, Illinois. In Illinois, big, long table, all the family there. Right out of my mouth came this. Anybody here in this family been to a fortune teller? My mother said, oh, yes, I had when I was 17 years old. I said, oh, my. She said, why, don't you remember us going? Your grandma and your great-grandma and all of us went to a fortune teller. Now, I didn't go. I don't think. I hope they didn't take me. And she said, why, your great-grandmother told fortunes when she come from Germany. Don't you remember that, honey? And I said, no, I don't remember that. See, the devil has ways to shutting off certain things that he don't want you to remember. You know that? And so when I said that, Brother Prince says that I'm under the power of that fortune teller. What do you think my mother said? This nice Christian preacher's wife. What do you think she said? You tell that old Derek Prince he don't know what he's talking about. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. And oh, my land, the whole table went. My dad said, now, wait a minute. You know, he's like Brother Ross, only he was, yeah, about that age at that time. He said, come on now, calm down. Let's talk about this a minute. My dad had ways of kind of, you know how preachers can kind of soothe things over in the whole family when they speak, we listen. He said, now, maybe this is true. Maybe this is true. The more we talked, my dad admitted he'd had a Ouija board when they were kids. About 10 children in the family played with a Ouija board. See, I was getting. Well, I never have converted my mother or my mother-in-law yet. But they can't talk me out of it because I know when I was delivered and I know when that power hit me again and I know how to get it off of us now when it hits us. You believe that? All right. The symptoms. Going to a fortune teller is one symptom. Well, that's the occult. But see what it did to me? I couldn't remember the Bible. I'm smart in my grades, A student all the time. I couldn't read down through a whole page and keep my mind on it. I know there's a lot of you come up and tell me I can't even read the Bible. I read a whole page and don't even know what I've read. Is that true? Okay. Somewhere it's back in there, maybe four generations back, but you're getting the palm reading, reading cards, tea leaves, crystal balls, Ouija boards. We've taken that up. You may just do these things out of curiosity, but the devil doesn't play fair. When you've done that out of curiosity, he says, uh-oh. God says, uh-oh. Down comes his curse. Is that true? His curse. If you don't believe it, you get the curse book back there, and you'll see all the curses that God says he puts on us. Then the devil puts them on us, too. Water witching. My dad used to do that all the time. Go around with a fork and stick and dig a well. How many's been involved with that or seen it done? Sure. Witching for oil, minerals, water lines, using a fork and stick or a divining rod. All of these are ancient occult practices, aren't they?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Have you ever gone to a medium or a psychic? The other day, a pharmacist called me, a lady pharmacist. She said, oh, somebody told me to call you. They said, you can help me. I said, well, Jesus can help you. What's your problem? She said, well, I've had a lot of problem on my job. And I don't know if she gave out the wrong pills or what, but she said, I said, well, when did you go to the fortune teller? Well, I really didn't, but I went into what's called a spiritualist advisor. And she told me, yes, you have a curse on you. I don't know why she said that. Of course, all the time she was going to put one on her too. But she said, for $250, I'll get that off of you. Jesus says, I'll do it for free. So I talked to her a little bit, taught her a little bit, and I said, all right, casting out, that means breathing out that vile air. It means confessing your sins before the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him to come in and cleanse you. And then I said, I'm going to cast that out of you. Is that all right? She said, yes. Oh, by all means, I'm miserable. So I led her in a prayer. She renounced that spiritualist advisor. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you come off of her and out of her in the name of Jesus. And she was heaving in no time. Getting rid of it. And I'm expecting to hear a good report. Jesus does it all free. He shed his blood. It's free for everybody. If you don't enter into it, it's just going to cost your pride, I guess, and your dignity. Have you ever attended a seance? A lot of people have gone to seances. Or a spiritualist meeting. A lot of people have gone to spiritualist meetings. Spirit, they're seeking, that's why they go. A lot of people have spirit guides that talk to them all the time. And a lot of people go to places they shouldn't go. We had a boy, they brought a man out here, a man. He'd been a sailor in the Navy in Hawaii. And he was invited to a native bone dance. How many's ever been to a bone dance? And a little Nazarene fella brought him out. They were disc jockeys uptown the radio station. So I said, what's a bone dance? He said, well, they build a fire and they dance around it and they play this music and these drums and all this wild music. And he said, all of a sudden, right up out of the ground or out of that fire come skeletons and they dance around this fire. Did you say the devil isn't real? And what happened that night after he got home? He was out way away, leaning against a tree, just watching all this go on. But see, that night, middle of the night, he had a seizure. And he'd been having seizures ever since. Well, we said to him, there's deliverance for you. And I remember we had, Skip Mondragon was here now. He's a little guy that coming here to live for 9 months. He was a Catholic, Notre Dame on a big scholarship. Got the Holy Ghost, stood up in the Notre Dame's dining room, preached him a sermon on idolatry, and that was the end of scholarships. And somebody told him, you better go to the Miller's camp. I think they can help you. Well, it took a long time to simmer him down so you could even speak. He was yelling, hallelujah, praise the Lord, at the top of his lungs all the time while he was preaching. While Glenn was trying to preach or camp meeting or anything, on those old tapes you can hear him. And you see, there's a lot of things that we've gotten ourselves into. But anyway, he comes over and he was praying in tongues real loud, but that Nazarene fellow was scared to death. And this other man, he didn't know what was going on. But the Nazarene man ended up getting delivered. We had to get the sack and the bucket and the towels and the whole bit. And this other guy said, no, I don't want any part of this. This is worse than where I went before. Well, now, you know where he is? He's dead now. But God gave him a chance, didn't he? Slumber parties. Oh, yes, Albie Pearson, the ball player. He was ministering out at Roy Rogers' place in Apple Valley. Had all a lot of young people. I mean, I think, not young people like this. Young people that had been on dope and everything, and he's bringing them into the Lord. And he was talking about how powerful the Lord is and everything. And so they said, all right, we're going to have a showdown. Tomorrow night, we're going to come in and show us how powerful our God is. So Albie thought, well, that's a cinch. So they come in. They had this great big heavy crystal ashtray, about this big. And this is when Albie first, you know, when we first hear about this, we try our wings sometimes to our dismay. And I'm not going to go into my Skiba experience, but I've had one where I got my hair mostly all jerked out. But, well, I might tell you. But, so these guys come over there and they set their ashtray down. They got over here somewhere and they just looked at it. It raised and it came floating across. And Albie Pearson left. He came to our house. He said, oh, my, you ought to see this. Well, we prayed with him and told him the Lord still has the power. It's just that you get so many of those. You know, the Episcopalians, when they first got the Holy Spirit, we were living in Van Nuys, they never invited more unbelievers to come in and get the Holy Ghost than all the believers they had. They always had the majority. See, they knew. And he had too many of those, and he didn't have the power and authority yet to, and none of us have the power and authority that we're going to get, do we? Otherwise, when you walked in here, if you were a manifested son of God, truly manifested, every demon in here would holler out, wouldn't they? We'll all know when the manifested sons come forth, well, they won't have to tell us. But anyway, that was Albie's first experience in deliverance, but that didn't stop him. We encouraged him. He got a lot of tapes in the early days, you know. These tapes were so valuable, and they still are. And we were sending them around the world in those days. And Albie is coming through it. He's still got a good church up in Mammoth. The president's wife of a very large candy bar company, you'd all know it if I said it, brought the son here. He was in Oral Roberts School. Rich, you know, and had everything. They sent him away to school to try to help him. And when he was a little boy, he and his little rich buddies were all in the basement, and they got their mother's punch bowl, turned it upside down, and had a seance. And all of a sudden, a great big ball of light or fire or something came down and rolled around on the floor, scared him to death. And from that day on, for years, he jerked like this. All the time. They took him to Mayo's. They took him every place. And they finally took him to somebody in Florida who prayed for him, and that evil spirit left. But then there was more on him, and he couldn't live straight. He just couldn't live straight. And he told us that's all the things he had ever had in the occult. But ever since then, there's something came on him, such fears that frightened him. We better watch our children in slumber parties. That's where they have these little seances, you know. You better be careful where you let your children go. Automatic handwriting. Have you ever seen any automatic handwriting? It's really something. There was a girl in a prayer group in California. We attended that prayer group sometimes, and she showed me this whole notebook. You know, all of this is so new. It was new to me then, and it was written some way. She wrote like this, and his hand took a hold of her hand, and she wrote. And it was some kind of Chinese or something. I said, I know that's not of the Lord. She said, oh, it's so beautiful. It feels so good when I'm writing all that. And that girl would not take any correction. If you can't take correction, you'd better watch out. The devil will come in on you with both feet. That girl is now divorced, and I don't know where she is. She was a sweet girl, very, very spiritual girl. You know, she was had the Holy Spirit, was moving on. We better watch out. Table tipping. Levitation of tables. Now, that's Albie Pearson. That's one thing. But there are people that can make tables rise up. These occult meetings. And we better leave that stuff alone. A girl worked for me. She was a good proofreader. Had all kinds of degrees. And I always did think she was a child of a missionary. She grew up in Africa, she said. Nice, nice girl, degree in journalism and everything. And I came back, I was a supervisor over this group, and I came back from lunch and they had a Ouija board in the kitchen around their lunch table. I just stood there. I'd never really seen one before. And I just kind of prayed in tongues, you know, and so they got convicted because it was after, it was time to go back to work and they were still playing with that thing. And, you know, I had ways to, when they knew how I looked, that meant you better get your hands on the keyboard. So they got up and all went to their desk. But I didn't think a thing more about it. In the afternoon, she came out of the proofreading room. She said, come in here. Could you come in here, please? So I went in there, and when I went in, she shut the door and stood against it. She said, we want to know what you were doing when you came in from lunch because our Ouija board wouldn't work anymore. I said, I was praying. Well, that makes a big hush go over any room of sinners. You just say, I was praying. That frightens them. And she came out to our house later, and she would never admit, but she told me at her house, she lived up in the Hollywood Hills, that's where a lot of these artistic people hibernate and live, homosexuals and people like that. And beautiful homes, lovely. And she said that a woman, her neighbor, came in the other day from a Catherine Kuhlman meeting. This has been years ago now. And she said, when this lady came in and started telling all about these healings and everything of Catherine Kuhlman, she said every picture on her wall turned over. And the big, massive dining room table got up and pushed that woman right out the door. That's demon power. Yoga exercises is as demonic as anything, isn't it, Brother Golden? Lamaze is also demonic. It's mind control, and it's Eastern religions, and it's yoga. When the girls go in to have a baby, they're gonna learn how to have a baby without pain, you know. Well, that's a bunch of malarkey, really. But anyway, see, I've had a couple children, and I know pain comes along with it. But they take them in there, and they train them, and they sit them in this lotus position, the yoga position. They open them right up for these demons to go right into their sexual organs and into their poor little innocent babies. And every time there's a baby squalling and bawling in here, I used to go to the mother, and I say to her, was this baby delivered by Lamaze? And almost all the time she says yes. And there was one little kid that came in here. He cried the whole time. Always crying. Just a little tiny tyke. Turning over chairs. Throwing toys. And disturbing the services. I asked her and I said, well, can we pray for him? I just held him in my arms real tight. And we began to cast that out. And he went, that kid turned to an angel. Does that make a believer out of you? So you better leave that Lamaze alone, and you better warn every pregnant girl, if she's talking about having Lamaze, a girl that worked for me here in town. I never heard of Lamaze in California. Boy, we had everything else, but this girl told me, I'm going to have my baby by Lamaze. So I said, it's painless childbirth, so I didn't know what it was, and I didn't think too much about it. You know, that baby was born with a cord wrapped around its neck, and it was dead, and Dr. Treishman here in town, who is a pediatrician, the grandmother worked for me too, this girl's mother, and she said, we called Dr. Treishman up here, and Dr. Treishman came right in there in front of all the doctors and raised that baby from the dead. We got power, people, in Jesus Christ, and he's a Baptist or Methodist, spirit-filled doctor, lovely doctor. Jesus had Dr. Luke with him, so don't be so down on doctors. It's all for a reason, see. Another girl came in here. She'd been trying to conceive a baby for a long time, but her mother had always told her that if she ever had a baby, it would be a mongoloid. And they'd been married about 7 years, and her husband was about to leave her, and she wouldn't let him get near her. They came, and first she come up to me, and she said, would you deliver me from fear? And the meeting was all over, but we was all standing up around here. And I said, well, yes. Fear in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And she let out this blood-curdling scream. And the next night they came back. And I didn't know all this, see, about her mother and everything. And next night they came back. And what do you know? Her husband came up. He said, would you deliver me from fear? And I said, well, the Lord can. Prayed for him. When we prayed for him, she got down on the floor like the Sphinx. For about 3 hours, she never moved her eyelid. She never changed. She was just like the Sphinx. She looked like it. And she never moved. Stiff. Eyes didn't move. You couldn't see her breathing. And we were praying for him, so we don't pay attention to an interfering spirit because they're always working together. They are so mobilized. They'll do anything to keep somebody from being delivered. And I don't know how long this went on. We finished praying for him. We turned around. We started praying for her. And all of a sudden, she started wailing. My mother! Oh, my mother! My mother! She was so tied to her mother. She had such a soul tied to her mother that she couldn't even go down to the store and buy a loaf of bread without calling her mother. She told me all this later. We finally got that out of her. What do you know? They came in here about, they lived in another town. They came in here one day and she says, oh, I'm going to have a baby. I said, oh, wonderful. Praise God. She said, I'm going to have it by Lamaze. Well, I didn't know about all this. I didn't know to warn her. She had the baby by Lamaze, and when we first went to see it, they brought it home. And I said to Glenn, that baby looks like death. He's black. And it was about 6 weeks, and they were operating on that little thing. And after I learned about Lamaze, they had already moved away. He was in the service or something. But oh, yeah, he was born with a hernia. We better listen to all this. Don't be so super religious that you think that nothing can happen in your own family. If you're going to get involved with a cult, you're going to get... I've got to move on. I'm talking too much. If you've ever been hypnotized by a doctor, you're under a curse. Powwows, Indian medicine man ministering to you, all of that. A lot of Indian blood, even here this time. And we always have hard deliverances with those. Necromancing. Pray, oh, you're not going to like me now. Praying to dead saints. If you've ever been a Catholic, you need to be delivered from praying to dead saints. We pray to one that is alive. His name is Jesus. He's alive. You don't pray to a dead saint. So you need deliverance. Patty is our good example, our secretary. We got two secretaries that were Catholics. Sandy and Patty. And I tell you, when Patty was getting delivered from those Catholic spirits, I would even be alarmed. I thought she was such an angel, and she is, and was. But I mean, those things are screaming memes when they come out. They don't like to come out. Born dinner, you know, Catholics, Germans, all the way back. We got to get that out of us. I had to be delivered from an Assembly of God spirit. Can you believe that? Oh, we thought we was the only ones saved. We're the only ones can have the Holy Ghost. Those Catholics aren't getting it. Those Baptists aren't getting it. My mother would say, them old Catholics, they're not getting the Holy Ghost. I said, but they are. Those nuns all come in, they sing and dance and get the Holy Ghost. I had that so engraved in me for so many years, that had to come out of me. Metaphysics. Handwriting analysis. I had that done at the fair once, Orange County Fair. I didn't think much about it. You know, I write pretty good and big, plain. And well, they told me all about all of what I, you know, and I had that at my desk drawer when we was going to move here. See, we've learned a lot since we come here in the last 12 years because we just kind of went along and helped different deliverance preachers, and we're here. We're on our own. But we was getting ready to move here, and I went back in the maid's quarters where Glenn had all of his paraphernalia like that, and I said, oh, my, what's in here? It's hitting me in the head. He said, your handwriting analysis, I just found it there in the desk drawer when I was cleaning it out. I said, oh, my, well, burn it up. He said, I did. See, it left behind its little imps. Magic, all kinds of magic stuff. Edgar Casey books, Gene Dixon books. I was so hungry for the move of God, and I saw that book, The Gift of Prophecy, advertised, and I went down and I bought one, and I read it. And would you believe, and I gave it to my pastor. I said, prophecy is wonderful. We never had any prophecy in our church. It was a nice church with painted windows and padded seats and everything. Good choir. Loud preacher. Pounding, you know, dancing. And I said, what'd you think of the book? He said, well, I don't know. He said, I didn't like it when that snake comes in and wraps itself around her every morning and gives her direction. I said, what snake? I hadn't even seen that. I must have turned two pages at once. Well, that book had to go.
you've ever got these little unity books they give away, that's got to go. Rosicrucianist, that's reincarnation. So is ultimate reconciliation, reincarnation. You better leave that alone. Mormon books, all kinds of Mormon books. If you ever belong to a Mormon church or read those, you got to be delivered from that. Christian Scientists, Eternal Security. Oh, my land, Lord Jesus. I got them now. Unitarianism, Theosophy. Remember those cars that went around? They're going to take over the earth and do all that. Inner Peace Movement, Buddhism, Jehovah Witness. All that's got to go out of our lives. That doesn't belong in the Promised Land. All of the Masons, oh my land, the Masons, oh Glenn, you're going to get me in trouble, the De Molays, all of that. Eastern Star, Job's Daughters, if you've ever been involved in that, you need deliverance. Somebody called up and they said, we want to come over and be delivered from, see, we've learned along the way, but everything I learned, I take to heart, and this man called and said, I got to be delivered from being a Mason. I said, oh, well, fine, come on over. We were up in our kitchen. We started to pray, and I thought, well, this is going to be easy. You know, those real hard cases, I thought, you know, I'd always say, oh, dear. We started to pray, and I was throttled. I was choking. I said, you better stop and pray for me. I remember that when I was about 5 or 6, I went to visit my grandparents who were in the Masons and the Eastern Star, and the lodge hall was over the grocery store, a little town, you know, Missouri, northern Missouri. And I'd want to go to the lodge with them. They said, no, you can't go. You don't know the password. So they'd go to lodge, leave me with a hard help. And I'd go out and I'd walk up the steps. Glenn, be still. I'd walk up those steps and I'd try to hear the password, and then I thought I could go in. Well, see, doesn't take much, does it? Curiosity will get you. If you're depressed, if you're gloomy, if you're indifferent, can't get out of bed in the morning and get with it, irresponsible, go to work half the time, unpredictable behavior, delusions, uncontrollable passions. This is all the symptoms. Uncontrollable appetite, gluttony, boy, overindulgence of food or alcohol or drugs, compulsive eating, all in the occult, uncontrollable temper, hate, insanity. I had my doubt with that. Boy, the Lord's let me experience a lot, and then nobody can talk me out of it. I landed in a mental hospital one day. I don't remember getting in there, but I was there. Some of you may think I need to be back there. But I'm telling you, when they got done with me experimenting, those UCLA doctors, I had 17 shock treatments. First three was so depressed, all the rest of them just strapped me down. And give it to me, and I'd be unconscious a day or two. I didn't have a brain in my head. They told Glenn, she's a vegetable the rest of her life. Well, but God. But the Lord. But we didn't know anything about deliverance. But we knew how to fast and pray. And Glenn called the church together. They fasted and prayed. He called them together on Sunday, and he said, anybody's interested in praying for Irma, she's worse than so on. He said, the Lord tells me to come to the church. It's good to have a good husband. You know that? That wants to pray. And on Monday they prayed, on Tuesday they prayed, on Wednesday they prayed, and Thursday I woke up. I said, where am I? And the girl in the other bed, she says, you're tired, you're resting. I said, well, I'm not tired. So I got up out of bed. I went in the bathroom, and my hair, I had longer hair then. It was out like Phyllis Diller's. I thought, where am I? And I said, you think that's not an experience? And I kept looking at all these people. She said, it's time to go to breakfast. All these nurses, I kept thinking, where am I? I said, where's my husband? Where's my children? Why am I in here? I didn't have a brain left hardly, but I did. I saw my cosmetic case, and I saw my curlers there, and I just stuck my head under the bathtub and some shampoo. I washed my head, put them up in curlers, and I kept looking at everybody, and I said, how long have I been here? And they told me, what was it, Glenn, 2 months or so? 3 months? See, the devil tries to kill you. He comes to kill and to destroy you. He tried to destroy us. You see, he knew what we were going to do. The last thing I ever wanted to do was marry a preacher or have anything to do with preachers. You live in a parsonage all those years. You don't want no part of it. The kids don't. You know, isn't that right? They've had enough. They've seen enough. Why is the deacon beating up his wife when he gave a message in tongues last Sunday? Why were those elders all against Brother
Brother Garris. I used to sit there as a child sworn to secrecy, and I'd think, how could he do that? He tongued last Sunday. He interpreted. What is going on? I never dreamed it was the devil. Never dreamed of it till I heard the message, and you all are hearing the message today. Suicide, acute jealousy, compulsive lying, stealing. Some people will just go and take books off the table. Steal Bibles. Go in the book room and steal off the full gospel businessmen tables. The international directors used to steal, and I'd see them do it. I'd think, oh, God, what's the church coming to? Gamblers. People wanting to commit suicide. Christians committing suicide. Preachers committing suicide. Hearing voices. Murdering. Blaspheming. Drinking. Muttering to yourself. All of this is the symptoms. Probable cause. The occult. Remedy. Jesus Christ. The blood. And deliverance. Think about that troubleshooting chart. I'm going to make one. If we ever have time to write a book, that's going to go in my book. Glazed eyes, sullen, perverseness, defiant. Have you ever seen these defiant people? They sit in church just like this. Right? They don't speak in tongues. They can't speak in tongues. You know that I couldn't even speak in tongues. I got in such a bad shape, and I didn't know what's the matter with me. I couldn't pray in tongues. I might be able to pray in tongues if there was a whole lot of people around me praying in tongues, but I couldn't pray in tongues at home. I knew something was wrong with me, but I didn't know. But when I found out, I mean, man, I went after the devil. And I was mad at him, and I wanted to get rid of him. I won't tell you today how they prayed for me. But I first time I heard a demon talk out of anybody, I ran to my room, to the 15th floor or something at the Hilton Hotel in Chicago. All the demon says is, my name is Pride. That ran up my back, and I mean, I went and took two tranquilizers. I jumped in bed. See, I've had the experience. A voice said in my ear, jump out the window. You've now gotten false doctrine. That was a long shirt in early Pentecost, wasn't it? You're going to get in false doctrine. You better be careful. You're going to get in wildfire. This demon said to me, now you've gotten into false doctrine. You better jump out the window. But I answered that thing right back. You know what I said? I am too smart for that. I know you don't kill yourself. You're not going to have me kill myself. But I was in a bad shape. I had to cry out to God. Glenn used to go away. And, you know, they think you're crazy. I'd be praying, and he'd come in and say, what'd you say? I said, I'm praying. I'd walk up and down the hall. He'd come in and catch me sometimes. I'd be saying, Lord, deliver me from all evil. Oh, God, deliver me from all evil. But I didn't know where to go. And I went to my dad, and he said, honey, there's nothing wrong with you. Went to Glenn, you imagine all these things, honey. And they thought I was losing my mind, and, you know, again. And this is years later. I was in the hospital in 57. I was right back to work supervising again, running a big group in RCA in 2 months after I came out of there. But, well, you got to find somebody. You ever go to your pastor and ask him to pray for you for deliverance? Oh, no. Honey, you're all right. Just praise God. Just keep praising God. You'll be all right. That's not true. We're going to get with it right now. We're going to start. Are you ready for deliverance? Let's pray first. And then Glenn's going to come up, and maybe Brother Moody, and we're going to start calling these things out. Get the paper towels. This is the labor. We're time for delivery now. We've been in the labor room. Now it's time for deliverance. You ready? How many want to be delivered? How many want to be delivered? There's somebody back in there. You better get your hands up if you want to be delivered. That's what you came for. We're not having private sessions back in here. This is where the delivery room is, right in here. If you want deliverance bad enough, you'll get up here on the front seat. I don't mean these. Well, over here somewhere. That just came out. I mean, you have to laugh about this or you'd go crazy. You know, we see two carloads of people coming. I said to Patty, oh dear, we've got our day all planned. We don't know anybody's coming. We spend the whole day. One woman, I just have to laugh at this. This poor lady came in here about 6 weeks ago, and she said she wanted prayer, and she had this huge, big Bible. You know, all people that's losing their mind, they always have these big Bibles. Satan causes them to do it to make a reproach on God. She comes in here, and she says, "You have deliverance?" And I said, "Yes." So us girls all got around her, and she says to me, she looked at me, and she says, "You've got your glorified body." I said, "If this is it, I don't know." She says, "Well, I've got mine." She says, "Of course, I'm not right now. I'm right now, I flip in and out." She says, "I got another body in here, but pretty soon I'll flip out. Another one will come in." I hope all of you have some experiences like I've had. It'll make a believer out of you. You'll either pray or run. If you run, oh man, I feel sorry for you. Let's pray. Everybody get your mind on Jesus. We're going to talk to Jesus right now. And you pray after me. Dear Father,
we
come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We're coming for help.
The body of Christ is here this afternoon.
We're coming for help,
Lord. And you never turn us away. We lift up all the sins that we've disobeyed. Delving into the occult.
Knowing or unknown.
We're sorry for these sins.
We ask you for the precious blood.
To come down and cleanse us.
For any little thing.
That needs to be cleansed.
All this occult.
That we're asking for this afternoon.
Everything that's come down from our great-great-grandparents
and our grandparents
and our parents
and now in us.
Lord, we know that you won't turn us away.
You know, we know you're loving.
We know you came to deliver the world.
And we're asking this afternoon
to be forgiven
for all these sins and iniquities and transgressions.
We want to be vibrant Christians.
We want to be free most of all
from all of our torments,
for all these things that plague us.
That keep us from your very best.
And Lord, we just allow the precious blood
to cleanse us.
We ask you now, Lord,
to deliver us.
Your word says,
whoever calls on the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
We call on you now, Lord,
to deliver us
from all evil.
We mean it, Lord.
We want to go to Zion.
We want to go to the prize of the high calling
in Christ Jesus.
We want to be pure and clean.
And washed.
And delivered.
And we thank you now.
We thank you now
for what you're going to do for us.
We are believers.
We will cast these things out of us.
By the blood.
By the word of our testimony.
And by the name of Jesus.
That all the demons tremble at.
We thank you for the privilege.
Of praying to you.
And knowing.
That there's relief.
And deliverance.
Yes, and deliverance.
We forgive everybody.
That's ever hurt us.
Even those that were wrong.
Because we know.
If we don't forgive.
If we don't forgive,
you're going to send the tormentors to us.
You're going to send the tormentors to us.
And we know the tormentors.
We know the tormentors.
Are the evil spirits.
Are the evil spirits.
So we will to forgive.
So we will to forgive.
Everyone.
Everyone.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I take authority over every spirit here this afternoon, and I bind it to the day of judgment in Jesus' name. And I ask for the angels of the Lord to come and assist us in setting the captives free, binding up these spirits and keeping them till you judge them at the day of judgment. Now, in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, I command these spirits to come out. I command them not to harm or tear anyone in Jesus' name. And I bind them to the day of judgment. And I thank you, Father, for that authority that you've given me. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. We come against the powers of the spirits of the occult. We bind them and command them to come out of these people, come out of every one of us, and set us free in the name of the Lord.
Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against those spirits of the occult. I come against every work, every root, memory, scar, nest, and habit, ruler, demon, and lesser demon. I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Early ones, you give me a drink of water, a big one. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out the ruler of witchcraft. Death by hypnosis. Come out in Jesus' name.
Come out of him.
Come out. Third eye. Karate. Martial arts. Judo. Kung fu. Chinese karate. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of snake, mongoose, cat, cobra, spider, swan, lust for power. Go in Jesus' name. Go, lust for dominance, occult divination, open doors to the occult. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of foundation in the occult. Wrappings on a wall, multiply power of curses, baptism in witchcraft, black mass, Satan worship. Jezebel, female dominance, Ahab, male counterpart to Jezebel, yielding male, extrasensory procession, hypnosis, trance, medium, warlock, occult fears, charm, enchantment, and fetish. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Coming out. I want all these occult spirits to go in Jesus' name. You are defeated. Come out, every spirit of black arts, witches, love knot, devil's foot, Indian kachina, conjuration, occult symbols, serpent charmer, stargazing, soothsayer, omens, prognostication, observing times, pass through the fire, familiar spirits, clairvoyant, occult, magicians, magic practices, augur, rebellion, stubbornness, false prophets, demon and idol worship. Thank you. Parapsychology. Yoga, psychokinesis, charmer, magic charming, hearing voices, macabre, psychic portraits, spiritism, phrenology, numerology, great seal, alchemy, talismans. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all occult spirits. Go, every spirit of sorcery, sorcerers, sorceress. Sacrificing children or anything to idols. Fortune-telling, fortune-tellers. Calling on evil spirits. Witchcraft, witches. Mediums, wizards. Black magic, magicians. Call forth the spirits of the dead. Serpent charmer. Witchcraft. Worshiping idols and images of gods. Rebellion, stubbornness. False prophets, dreamers. Demon possession, demon possessed, spiritism, encouraging demon activity, wrong religious doctrine and demon worship. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. I bind your power and I drive you away from us in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Every demon that comes in through religious era, lodges, societies, and social agencies using the Bible and God as a basis but omitting the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Come out, every spirit that came in through cults that deny the blood of Christ, heaven or hell, and philosophies that deny the divinity of Christ. Books, literature, music, and so forth dealing with false religions. Demons from all false religions, false doctrines studied, believed, and taught, all unrighteous practices engaged in. Come out, every spirit that came in through these different areas. Come out, every spirit of religious cults. Go, every spirit of Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Rosicrucianism, Theosophy, Uranus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.